And we're back for the H.H. Holmes edition of
Serial Killer Week.
Piece of shit week, yeah. H.H. Holmes is a piece of shit too.
Yeah, not as bad as the last two though. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's his own brand of piece of shit, I guess.
Some would say worse, some would say better. I would say they all murdered people for their own enjoyment, so they're all pieces of shit, really.
And Holmes is reported to have the biggest high body count of ones we've done, and actually any serial killers that I've actually heard of.
You know, actually, when American Horror Story did that hotel version,
that was based off a murder hotel.
Yeah, and Evan Peters was playing supposed
the engine. Holmes. Well, the hotel version was based on a couple. It was like the Cecil. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm hotel. Speaking more of Evan Peters.
Yeah, in the hotel itself where it had like the cubbies and stuff, and he was supposed to be like the
H.H. Holmes.
Yeah. And that honestly was the last good season of American Horror Story.
But I thought he did a good job. I think with everything we've seen about H.H. Holmes, he was pretty much a swindler too.
He was a con artist.
Yeah, he definitely. So that kind of lends to how he could manipulate people into God, his whole facade of kind of how he killed people and what he did and how he created it, and just amazing that he was that smart. A waste also that he was that smart. He could have done actually good things with his intelligence.
Yeah, and it's funny because of all the murders he said to have committed, he only got charged and tried for one.
Isn't that the story that we're hearing? Just a lot of these folks, a lot of these serial killers, you're only nailing them on a few. I guess it only takes a few to...
Well, yeah, it does. But still, I mean, you would want...
justice.
And he tells you about all these other ones, but you only get him for the one.
Yeah. And in the end, I guess he wins because he's not getting... He still got the satisfaction of what he did to kill them, but he's not getting punished for it.
And right, and look at it, and think about it. To this day, this is what, 1800s?
Yeah.
Yeah, late 1800s, we're still talking about him.
Yep.
And he's still talked about.
And nobody really knows the extent of his murders and how far they went and if this was just the only country he killed in.
Because it is rumored that he was the Ripper.
That's one potential...
He's one potential suspect, and we'll talk about that a lot because we're doing him next. We'll talk about him. We'll go into the Ripper a lot more, obviously, with the Ripper case. But Holmes is rumored to be one of the potential suspects.
I think he's good for it.
I think he is too. I think out of everybody, I think he's the most likely.
I mean, obviously he's already killing me.
Right, and he's killing because he's got the medical background, and they're saying that the Ripper almost had to have had the medical background to do what he did.
Well, let's jump into it, see if we can make that case.
Well, I don't really think we'll make the case for him here, because we'll just, you know, because I don't even think I talked about when he was over there, because I think we were saving that for
making
the case in the Ripper one.
Knowing this history, we can still draw parallels.
Yeah, but Holmes was actually born Herman Webster Mudgett.
Jesus Christ.
I can see why he changed it.
Jesus. I want to be the next Hermit Mudgett. He sounds like a fucking pedophile is what he sounds like. My name's Mr. Mudgett.
Right. Of course, everybody knows him as Dr. Henry Howard Holmes, or H.H. Holmes. And he was an American serial killer. He confessed to 27 murders. He was convicted and sentenced to death for only one murder. That of accomplice and business partner, Benjamin Peitzel. And of course, we'll get more into that as we go. He confessed to the 27 murders after the Peitzel trial, awaiting execution. It is believed that Holmes actually may have killed as many as 200 plus people.
Jesus. Wow. I'm not laughing because he killed people. I'm laughing because police are so stupid.
Well, think about it, it's late 1800s.
I get it, but he's telling you he killed fucking 27 people.
Right, but there's no actual...
Confession.
Well, I mean, yeah, but think about it. Think about it, though. Just to in today's time, you've got people in prison that confess to murders all the time that they didn't commit and were nowhere in the vicinity of when it happened. So, and that's something else I don't understand. Why would you confess to that stuff? Is that so you get a name for yourself?
You're going to be dead soon. What's it matter? He's awaiting execution. Why is he confessing to it now? Is it just to clear his conscience? Is it to say, look, all these things I did, and you're going to kill me anyway, so you're not going to know about them, so...
Could be. Could be. Or that I was doing this the whole time under your noses, and you only got me for one.
Or is he trying to prolong his time on this earth, and he really didn't do it, but he's trying to...
Okay, see, here's the thing. Back then, if you're convicted to die, you don't have a whole lot of wiggle room. They had a quick turnaround. If they say you're going to hang... You hang pretty quickly afterwards. I think we need to go back to that.
Yeah. Well, then the only motive would have been to...
Just to mess with him. Or, because as you'll find out, I think there he had reasons. He had a motive for doing it.
He didn't want anybody to take credit for what he did.
Well, he sold his life story. So, that's why he confessed it. Because, you know, and why he had an opportunity to sell his story... is beyond me, because you're gonna die, so what are you gonna do with that money? I mean, seriously, it's not like you're gonna be sitting in prison like people do today where they sell their stories and you actually get the benefit of that money. Cause,
once a con artist, always a con artist.
Well, that's true. Victims were killed in a building in which he owned. It was located about 3 miles west of the 1893... I said World's Fair. That could be wrong. I don't know that they called the fair in Chicago the World's Fair, or if that was the only one in, or if that was just the one in St. Louis. But I thought it was the World's Fair. So if I'm wrong about that, I'm sorry. The building was supposedly called World's Fair Hotel. And that's another reason why I thought it was. But it's also known as the Murder Castle.
Affectionately.
Right. But there's evidence that suggests that the hotel part of the building never actually got open for business. Because there's, you know, you've got like, it's actually like 4 levels if you count the basement. So the very top level, which would have been the 3rd level, was supposed to be the hotel part of it. So that never actually, he never actually got paid for hotel rooms. So I guess that's why they maybe say that it was never actually operational. Because he did have people staying there.
Yeah, he killed them before they
could pay. Right, well, that could be. Maybe that was the paying part, was you just being there, and I'll kill you and take what you got. And even though Holmes was a serial killer, he was also a con artist. He was also the subject of 50 lawsuits in Chicago. Holmes was executed on May 7th, 1896, 9 days before his 35th birthday.
Wow.
I think I might have to sneeze, and if I do, I'm sorry.
So he killed that many people before he was 35 years old?
Yes. Well, and it was the biggest part of them happened during that fair, leading up to the fair, because of that the hotel. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how many people that were helping with the construction of said hotel that found out something they weren't supposed to that he killed. Holmes was born, like I said, as Herman Webster Mudgett in New Hampshire on May 16th, 1861.
That name alone makes you want to kill somebody.
I know. To Levi Horton Mudgett and Theodette Page Price. Jesus, the names back then. Could you imagine a Theodette walking around now?
Wow.
Even, I don't even think Herman's used that much anymore.
No, it didn't turn out well that time.
Right. Both of whom were descended from the first English immigrants in the area. Holmes was his parents' 3rd born. He had an older sister, Ellen, an older brother, Arthur, a younger brother, Henry, and a younger sister, Mary. Right off the bat, he should be pissed off that everybody else got normal names. Yeah. And he got stuck with Herman Webster.
How the fuck did I get Herman? And Webster.
Right.
Have you seen the show?
What?
Never mind. There was a show called Webster. Never mind. Not a show, but there was a character called Webster, a little black kid.
From what?
Was it Benson, maybe?
I loved Benson. He was the butler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great show. Holmes' father was from a farming family, and at times he worked as a farmer, trader, and house painter. His parents were devout Methodists. And I think he was actually from a well-to-do family. I don't think, like at the time, I think they had money. Attempts to later fit him into the pattern seen in modern serial killers have described him torturing animals and suffering from abuse at the hands of a violent father. But by all accounts, his childhood provided no proof of this. So he doesn't fit your profile for serial killers now. He was 16 when he graduated from Phillips Exeter Academy and took teaching jobs in nearby Alton. On July 4th, 1878, he married his first wife, Clara Lover, in Alton. They had a son, Robert Mudgett. He was born on February 3rd, 1880. So, he's married with a kid. By the time he's 18, and he's teaching at 16.
Yeah, but I can't think that was all that uncommon
back then. I mean, I wouldn't think so. Holmes enrolled in the University of Vermont at the age of 18, but he left a year later because he was unhappy with the school. I guess I'm wanting to say that he was highly intelligent and he just wasn't being.
He'd have to be with some of the shit he's pulled.
Yeah, so I just don't think he was being challenged enough in that school, and that's why he left. In 1882, he entered the University of Michigan's Department of Medicine and Surgery and graduated in June of 1884 after passing his exams.
Well, that's why he became a fucking serial killer.
I was waiting for it, because he was from Michigan. Because he went to Michigan. While he was there, he worked in the anatomy lab under the then chief anatomy instructor. He also apprenticed in New Hampshire under a noted advocate for human dissection. So, this time period, they're just kind of learning, right? That's why they're dissecting humans, because they're learning the placement of everything, how everything's supposed to work, like the muscular structure and everything, right?
And so he's learning that.
Right. Yeah, because he's basically an intern, I guess, under the heads of these departments. Years later, when he was suspected of murder and claimed to be nothing but an insurance fraudster, he admitted to using cadavers to defraud life insurance companies several times while in college.
Okay.
So even in college, he's frauding life insurance companies.
Sounds like a wonderful human.
That's something else you'll find. He loves them life insurance policies.
I bet he does.
Roommates described Holmes as treating Clara violently. In 1884, before he graduated, she moved back to New Hampshire and later wrote she knew little of what happened to him after that. So after she left him, she probably didn't even know anything until after he was executed and it was found out that Holmes was actually Mudgett. Because when she knew him, he was Mudgett.
Yeah. Yeah, I ain't marrying you, Mudgett.
Oh my God, that name. I can't. And he had various aliases, but I didn't put them all in here because the most notable one was H.H. Holmes.
That's a step up.
Yeah. I mean, he had like 6 or 7 names that he used.
That's a step up.
After she left, he moved to Moore's Forks. Jesus, these names. And that was in New York. A rumor spread that Holmes had been seen with a little boy who had later disappeared. Holmes claimed the boy went back to his home in Massachusetts. No investigation was done. And Holmes skipped town pretty quick after that. Which kind of leads you to believe.
He went back home to Elephant Butte. Yeah. I don't know. He's a weird little fucker. Said something about getting a sandwich and then jumping over a picket fence. I don't know. It was weird. I gotta go.
I mean, it doesn't make you look guilty at all if...
gotta go.
You disappear shortly after a kid does.
Said something about a toy box. I'm out.
He then traveled to Philadelphia and got a job as a keeper at Norston State Hospital, but quit after a few days. He then took a position at a drugstore in Philadelphia, but while he was working there, a boy died after taking medicine that was purchased at the store.
Oh, so he's what he's trying to do is find ways to kill people, and then, like, what's
my... Right, so as of right now, he's already got the potential body count of two. Two little boys died suspiciously around him, or disappeared and died. He denied any involvement in the child's death, and again, immediately left. Before he moved to Chicago, he changed his name to Henry Howard Holmes to avoid the possibility of being exposed by previous victims of scams. So he'd been running scams this whole time. During his confession, after he was arrested, he claimed that he had killed his former classmate, Dr. Robert Leacock.
And killed this cock. His name was better than mine. Mine's Mudgett. He gets named Leacock, which means the cock.
He says he killed him in 1886 for an insurance money, but that was a lie.
I'm surprised that that's a lie.
Right, because it was found out that Leacock actually died in Ontario, Canada on October 5th, 1889. In late 1886, while still married to Clara, Holmes married his second wife. He filed for a divorce from Clara, but a few weeks after he married Mitra, alleging infidelity on Clara's part. The claims could not be proven and the suit went nowhere. And odds are pretty good that Clara had no idea a divorce petition was even filed. Holmes had a daughter with his second wife, Lucy Theodette Holmes.
Okay, so it's a popular name, Theodette.
Oh, it was a family name.
Theodette.
Right. She was born on July 4th, 1889.
You know what the legacy is here. Bad names.
Exactly.
That's the legacy.
Holmes married his third wife, Georgia, on January 17th, 1894. And of course, he was still married to the other two at the same time.
So are any of these marriages legal?
The first one is. Because the first one, he was married under his legal name, his legal birth name. And he never got divorced from her. And he married the other two under false names. So they're not legal by two ways. One, it's not his legal name, and two, he's still married to the first wife. So when Holmes arrived in Chicago in August of 1886, is when, like I said, he began using H.H. Holmes. He came across Elizabeth S. Holton's drugstore. Holton gave Holmes a job, and he proved to be a hardworking employee, and he eventually bought the store. There are many reports that said that Holmes killed the Holtons, but it's not true. They survived well into the 20th century. So I think even in documentaries that we've watched, it said that he killed the husband and made the wife sign everything over to him, like all her money, life insurance, and that he had life insurance policies on them. And that he killed him and got everything. But that's just not true. He legally bought the store from them.
They did something honest.
Yeah. And they lived to be ripe old people. Holmes then purchased an empty lot across from the drugstore that he had just bought for them, where construction began in 1887 for a two-story mixed-use building with apartments on the second floor and retail spaces, including a new drugstore on the first floor.
So his idea was to build a drugstore with apartments over top of it.
Right. And during the construction of this is when he was in England. And
how long was that?
He was honestly in England in the time frame that the Ripper murder started and they stopped.
So what was the year that he went?
Well, the building construction started in 1887, and he was in England from, I'm wanting to say, possibly 87 through the end of 88, but in 1888 he was in London.
Okay.
And 1888 was when the Ripper murders took place.
And so at this time this is being constructed, he's in London.
Yes, so he is.
And at this time what he's wanting built is a drugstore with apartments over top of it.
Right. Like, I don't think this is the murder castle yet.
Why did he go to London?
Well, because he could. He had the money too. He just wanted to travel to London. I think there was a scam going on where he was trying to get somebody's property over in London at the same time.
Okay.
That, I think that's what it was, where he traveled over there because there was some property. Because he was all about scamming people out of their property and money and selling it and insurance scams. In 1892, he had it a third floor, telling investors and suppliers he intended to use it as a hotel for the upcoming World's Fair. Though the hotel part was never finished. And he also didn't want to be there to be questioned. So this was the construction of the murder castle. Because if you remember, a constant stream of contractors were coming in and out of this. Because they were only given certain parts of the plans to build.
So nobody knew everything.
Because, and even today, nobody knows for sure everything in that hotel.
Because the castle doesn't stand anymore.
Because it burnt down. Shortly after he was arrested, it burnt down. So they can't even tell you, like, the total body count because it burnt.
So it is feasible, though. He has this plan to build a drugstore because it sounds like he was trying to do a honest thing, I guess.
The first floor was the drugstore.
And then the apartments over top of it make a little bit more money.
Was going to live in one of those apartments.
I'm going to go to England. I'm going to run this scam.
Yeah.
But it is feasible that he committed murders while he was over there and then changed his mind about what he wanted for this thing being built. So he comes back and he's like, mm-mm. No, let's add a third floor.
Well, the third floor was in the process. Yeah, he wanted the third floor. Yeah. So I think he started the third floor after he came back.
But do you think he spawned this idea? Let's say he did go to England and he was the Ripper over there. That he spawned this idea after getting a taste for murder.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah. Because it's just weird that... I mean, because at the time of the Ripper, and like I said, we'll go into that more, it was bad over there. And there is the potential of 11 victims.
Over the span of how long?
I'll have to look into that again. But they tried to tie 11 victims to the Ripper. But I only think two of them, apart from the five, would be good for him. But like I said, we'll talk about that more, because the Ripper case is going to be a long one, too.
Okay.
But it just seemed odd that they're trying to say... Because I think after Mary Kelly was the last one, there were no more murders that they wanted to associate with the Ripper.
Yeah, it had been the time that he was gone. So they started sudden and they ended sudden.
Right. So that's why you've got so many conspiracy theories surrounding that.
Okay.
But that's also why they say he could be a good suspect.
One more question, though. How did they confirm that he was in England?
Records. There was records of him, travel records.
Did you think if that wasn't on his mind, his main reason to go to England, he wouldn't have cared if his name was on the document.
Right. And to travel, you had to have travel papers because you're on a boat for months. Because travel back then was atrocious. I mean, it took you forever. So he had to have, like, boarding passes and papers and everything that said he was traveling to England. And he did. I mean, there's evidence that he was over there.
Okay.
And that's why they're saying he's a pretty good suspect. I mean, there's multiple suspects, but they're looking at him as a pretty good one to have been the Ripper. I mean, he makes more sense than some of the other ones that they have. Furniture suppliers found Holmes was hiding their materials, for which he never paid. He had them in hidden rooms and passages throughout the building.
Well, that's a fucking surprise.
He didn't play the he didn't pay the contractors either.
Oh, neat. Hey, stay in my hotel. That's your payment.
Right. So, I mean, he didn't pay any of these people for anything. He was getting everything on credit and then never paid it. There were soundproofed rooms and mazes of hallways, some of which seemed to go nowhere.
So I'm looking at your blueprints here.
And they make no sense.
Why are we doing soundproof rooms?
It's like the Winchester house.
Why does this door open to a wall? It seems weird.
Yeah. Some of the rooms, actually most of the rooms, were outfitted with chutes that would drop straight to the basement, where Holmes had acid vats, quicklime, and a crematorium already set to dispose of his victims' bodies.
Okay, let me stop right there. Someone had to know, because they had to give him the materials or at least help him build this crematorium. Someone had to.
Could have just said it's the heating for the building.
I guess.
You can even argue the chutes are for laundry.
And the acid vats.
Well, he could bring in on his own.
It's like, nobody questions shit.
It's the 1800s. You're not going to.
What are you going to do with these acid vats?
Today.
Soup. make soup.
Today, I don't think you could get away with this. But then, yeah, you could because, you know.
Because it hadn't been imagined yet.
Exactly. It's just like, you're not thinking serial killer. Today, you're like, this asshole's a serial killer. He's going to be doing some funky shit in this hotel.
Seems pretty fucking weird.
Right. In 1892, the hotel was somewhat completed with three stories and a basement. The first floor, like I said, was the storefront. The second story consisted of his elaborate torture rooms and contained a chute that led to the basement. The third floor held more apartment rooms and was going to be converted into a hotel. In 1894, some police officers inspected the hotel while Holmes was out, and during the inspection, they found rooms with hinged walls and false partitions, rooms linked with secret passageways, and even airtight rooms that were connected to pipelines filled with gas that Holmes used as gas chambers. He would use chutes to deliver the bodies to the basement, and once there, he made use of the surgical tables and an array of medical tools to dissect them before selling their organs and bones on the black market to medical institutions.
So he definitely knew how to dissect.
Oh, yeah.
He knew what to cut. Did he have an affinity for any certain parts?
It doesn't say.
Because I know the Ripper did.
Yeah, it doesn't say. And he was also good at, I'll bring this up at some point too, that he would sell skeletons to medical schools. So he would, if he didn't have bodies on hand, he would go and dig them up. Get the flesh off of them, clean up the bones, wire the bones together, and sell the skeletons. Because, the medical schools would use the skeletons for reference in classes. So he sold numerous skeletons to schools. One of Holmes' early murder victims was his mistress, Julia Smythe. She was the wife of Ned Connor, who had moved into Holmes's building and began working at his pharmacy's jewelry counter. After Connor found out about Smythe's affair with Holmes, he quit his job and moved away, leaving Smythe and her daughter Pearl behind. Smythe gained custody of Pearl and remained at the hotel, continuing her relationship with Holmes. Julia and Pearl disappeared on Christmas Eve of 1891, and Holmes later claimed she had died during an abortion, though what truly happened to the two was never known. So odds are, killed him, stripped him, sold their skeletons.
I guess that's a good way to cover your tracks, too.
Well, yeah, because you're not leaving bodies behind. But then, you're constantly selling skeletons to people. They're going to ask, and I'm surprised nobody did, where are you getting all these skeletons at?
They didn't care, they just wanted the skeletons.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's just like, grave robbers, a lot of the times they weren't robbing the body of things they had on them. They were actually just taking the bodies and selling them to medical hospitals and schools for the dissecting purposes of teaching. So they didn't care where the bodies were coming from, they just needed the bodies. Another likely mistress, Emmeline, began working in the building in May 1892 and disappeared that December. Another woman who vanished, Inda, is also believed to have been among the victims. You'd think, stop walking in here, because you ain't coming back out.
Stay here for free. Forever.
I mean, these bitches keep going in there to work.
That's the slogan. Stay here for free. Forever.
Yeah, exactly. You're coming in here to work, but you'll be working here forever. It's like, what is it? The Hotel California? Once you're here, you ain't never leaving. While working in the commercial bank, Holmes met and became close friends with Benjamin Peitzel, a carpenter with a criminal past, who was exhibiting in the same building a coal bin that he had invented. So right there you go. Peitzel is probably the one that helped him build the crematorium. Because yep. Peitzel knew what was going on. He just didn't give a shit because he was helping. Holmes used Peitzel as his right-hand man for several criminal schemes. A district attorney later described Peitzel as Holmes's tool, his creature. So he's kind of like the... What's the guy from Dracula? What's his name?
Igor.
Not Igor, that's Frankenstein.
It is? No, come on, Igor's...
No, the guy in the loony bin in the movie. What was his name?
Igor.
I'm going to have to look that up. I don't think it's Igor. In 1893, Holmes met a one-time actress, Minnie Williams. He claimed to have met her in an employment office, though it is said he had met her years earlier. And they had a relationship years earlier. He offered her a job at the hotel as his personal stenographer, and she took the job. No runaway.
Does this come with medical benefits?
Yes. Holmes persuaded Williams to transfer the deed to her property in Fort Worth, Texas, to a man named Alexander Bond. Another one of Holmes's names. In April 1893, Williams transferred the deed with Holmes serving as the notary. Because, you know, if you're going to be stealing shit, you might as well go ahead and get your notary license so that nobody else knows what's happening.
He had it all wrapped up in.
Holmes later signed the deed over to Peitzel, giving him the alias Bitten T. Layman.
Jesus Christ.
You're
Elmer T. Fudd. That's what you are.
The next month, Holmes and Williams, pretending to be husband and wife, rented an apartment in Chicago's Lincoln Park. Minnie's sister Annie came to visit, and in July, she wrote to her aunt that she planned to accompany brother Harry to Europe.
So they're one step closer.
At this point, I think, right? Yeah, once again. It took me a minute, but I caught it like the second or third time you said it.
Well,
so I think.
Crawling in my skin.
Wow. We're gonna keep that doing that. Minnie and Annie were never seen alive again after July 5th, 1893. Because he got all the property and money from them. Holmes was known to sell skeletons to medical labs, like I said. In 1893, Holmes was arrested for insurance fraud after a fire at his home, but he was released shortly after. So I don't think he set fire to the actual murder castle because he was still playing in there.
Yeah. That was probably just for the insurance money.
Yeah. He then came up with a scheme with Peitzel to defraud an insurance company by faking Peitzel's death.
But Peitzel died.
But he killed Peitzel. After Peitzel purchased a $10,000 life insurance policy, he and Holmes traveled to Colorado, Missouri, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Texas, where they committed other acts of fraud.
Wow.
So they did insurance fraud all over the place. Returning to Missouri, Holmes was arrested for fraud and briefly jailed in St. Louis. When in jail, he met Marion Hedgepath, a career criminal who agreed to help Holmes in the insurance scheme with Peitzel. Meanwhile, Peitzel moved to Philadelphia and opened a fake patent office to swindle investors. After his release from jail, Holmes traveled to Philadelphia and killed Peitzel. He then convinced Peitzel's widow, who knew about the scheme from the beginning, because they have like 5 kids, so they need money. He convinced her to let him have 3 of her kids.
And she, no, I need them.
And
no,
he wait. Gave her $500 of the $10,000 that he had gotten. He gave her $500 of that. And then they split up. They started traveling around so that it didn't look suspicious.
Okay.
Tell me how that makes sense.
It doesn't. That makes you look really suspicious.
And how you gonna say, yeah, here, you can have 3 of my kids? Because somehow Holmes had her convinced that if they split up and he took some of the kids and she took some of the kids, and then they eventually got to the same place, it would look better. They would look less suspicious.
Like, hey, we just met up here. I had no idea. What are you doing with the kids? They wanted to come with me. Not a big deal.
It's just, I don't understand. And then, worried that Peitzel's children may alert authorities, he killed the 3 of them. Oh. He killed the 3 that he had.
I bet he did. Insurance policies on them?
I don't know. By this point, insurance investors were alerted to the fraud by Hedgepath, and Holmes was arrested in Boston in 1894. He was tried in Philadelphia for the murder of Peitzel and was sentenced to death by hanging. Holmes confessed to, like I said, 27 murders, and then later increased the total by more than 130. Some researchers actually have suggested that the real number exceeded 200. Holmes ended up selling his story to the Hertz Corporation for $10,000.
Well, just going back, it seems like the way he murdered people was gassing them.
Well, that was, yeah, I mean, he builds this building because you know years in advance that this big fair is coming. So that people can get ready for it. You can make your town look nice. You can add stuff to the town. So he knew this fair was coming. So he built this building and had it, because it takes years to construct a building. So you've got the chutes. You've got rooms that have doorknobs on the outside. But once you're inside, there's no doorknob. You can't, once you're in there, you're stuck. You can't get out.
What kind of room is this? What's going on?
And then like we said, there was, you know, pipes leading into rooms for gas chambers. You had chutes. And then you had, like, in between the rooms, like the walls in between, you had walkways.
That's how he got to them.
So he could walk, you know, go through all of here, and he could peek in and see what was going on. And Peitzel helped with a lot of this because he was a contractor. So I think it was probably him that helped build the crematorium. So, if you're in on it and you're helping with the killing, you ain't gonna say nothing. And like I said, that he had multiple contractors, all with different blueprints, so that nobody knew exactly what was going on in there. Which is smart, because you don't want anybody knowing what you got going on.
No, no. Yeah, that would definitely not be good when you're trying to build a murder factory.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
So he basically had his way with any of them.
Yeah.
At any time. Put them in the rooms he wanted them to be in.
Yes.
I assume probably tortured a lot of them. Gassing was a way... I just don't understand the enjoyment you can get out of gassing him, so it had to be...
Well, think about it. He was a doctor.
Maybe you could knock him out.
Yeah, I mean, he was a doctor. So he would... I think a lot of it was... curiosity on his part on like the different ways to kill people, what happened in the different types of killings, different ways to do it, What happened, it kind of also reminded me of the body farm. Because he would leave them.
Oh, in different stages of decay.
Yeah, and study them. And then, like I said, he ended up stripping a lot of the bodies for the skeletons.
Do you think he was a serial killer in the form that excited him? Or do you think he did it strictly for the bones?
I think he was a serial killer because he enjoyed it. But he also had the benefit of selling the bones and the body parts. Because, honestly, he's a con artist, too. Mm-hmm. So, he's totally into the scams and the scheming and different ways to get money and stuff. So, you've got all these people coming in, and they're traveling from all over the place. I mean, you've had people traveling from foreign countries to come to this fair. So,
if they sound like he had a good bone in his body.
Right. But if they disappear over there, nobody's going to know where they disappeared at.
It's true.
So, I mean, and he had people staying there, but I guess they were able to say that the hotel was never actually open because he never took payment.
Of course, I don't know. The payment is the murder.
And you can't really, and that's something else. They don't really know how many people came and went from that building. They just don't know. And the damn thing is, it was like right in the middle of town.
Yeah, I mean, dead in front of everybody.
I mean, it was right there.
It's almost like daring somebody to find it, you know?
And they had no idea what was going on.
Hmm.
And he did, he scammed quite a few people out of property. Because I'm wanting to say that that's why he was in England at the time that he was there, was because he was trying to scam. He was running a scam on somebody's property that they had over there.
Hmm.
But it's just, it's messed up.
Yeah, just, I don't know if I totally believe he was a serial killer for enjoyment as opposed to
opportunity. I mean, it just... yeah, I don't know.
His whole life seemed like a scam. But that doesn't really help with the whole Jack the Ripper thing, either. You know, people think he's Jack the Ripper. I mean, it seemed like Jack the Ripper did. Of course, if you are a serial killer who loves doing that, why stop all of a sudden?
Exactly.
I mean, that's not something that you stop on your own.
No, you're stopped.
Either you're stopped, you move... You know, I mean, it's...
Or you're going someplace else. And that's what they said, is that they think that the Ripper killings happened because whoever was doing it was traveling through the area at the time.
But they seem... I mean, we'll get into the Ripper case, but they just seem vastly different than Holmes.
But again, you don't know what Holmes did to them while they were there. He could have chopped them up, pulled shit out, because he was selling organs... two schools. So he had to have known how to open the body up and take the organs out and keep them intact, and how to do that to then sell them to medical facilities for teaching.
Yeah.
Because at that point, what else, why else are you selling the organs? Because I mean, there's not really, at that point, I mean, there is now a market for it on the black market, selling organs for transplants. But back then, they didn't know how to do that. You were just doing, like, instructing people, like, this is what this is what it does, this is where it's at in the body, and this is what it looks like. Because you're going to put before, it in jars.
But before he went to England, we don't know that he actually killed anybody. It's not reported, right?
Well, no.
We don't know that he was into any kind of weird shit where he's cutting things up or animals up and dissecting them. Because a lot of times it starts that way.
The only murder that's confirmed and that's proven that he did is Peitzel's murder. That's the only one that's confirmed. They can't even really confirm and say for sure that he was killing people in the murder house. You can suspect...
It's pretty fucking weird you had all them rooms.
Right.
Come on.
And you had, like, all of it that's in there. It's like you can suspect what happened in there. Because why else do you have gas pipes leading into a room but to make a gas chamber? but they could never say for sure that he did it.
Did they ever question him about the Ripper murders?
I don't think they had a chance to. Because I don't think he was suspected until after he was already dead.
Oh, okay.
I think this is a newer...
Because you would have thought that that would be something he would take credit for. Like, yeah, I was a fucking Ripper. You guys didn't catch me. Right. I mean, think about it. It's not a glorious thing. It's not something that's a horrible thing that happened. Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, if you're that person and everybody's trying to speculate who you are and you've got them all turned upside down like that...
Why, though? Because think about it. This is, what, hundreds of years later, almost 200 years later, right? I mean, it's been a long time ago. And you still have no idea who the Ripper is. Because they did, they actually did DNA on one of the victims' scarves or skirts or something. And they tried to say that was the Ripper. But that could have just been somebody that was like touch DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Or just happened to be at the crime scene. Because after all this time, you can't really trust.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, because you don't know how many people have handled that or anything. But also, I don't see how you could have no kind of medical knowledge at all and did what he did. You had to have some kind of medical knowledge.
Or studied it somehow.
Somehow.
Maybe not went to med school or whatever, but maybe you just studied it. Or you dissected enough animals.
Or bodies.
To have an understanding of
it. And I think that's why they're saying that Holmes is a very good, viable suspect for him, because...
This is a well-educated man.
Well, Holmes has the medical background.
He does have a medical background, and he does... check that box, but the MO is different.
Well, and a lot of the women, I mean, they were prostitutes, obviously.
The modus operandi,
right,
is different.
And they were all seen with men shortly before, like hours within bodies being discovered.
And these were all sex workers that he killed, correct? The Ripper?
Yeah.
But Holmes...
But again... Holmes was a serial killer of opportunity, correct? So, you have, for his murder house, if he did in fact kill all these people, which I'm pretty sure he did.
It's anybody that walked in.
It's anybody that walked in. You go to Whitechapel, and I'll explain this in the Ripper one. You have all these immigrants coming in, and people, I mean, it's like flies on shit. I mean, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And women, a lot of them, the only thing they could do to eat or even have a place to stay, because they were being charged nightly for rooms. And it was ridiculous amounts that they were charging for these rooms. They had to be prostitutes. I mean, that's the only thing they could do. And gin was really bad at the time, too. So you have these people who have no money, have no jobs, aren't able to do shit, just laying around in the gutters drunk all day, and they drink themselves literally to death because they can't do anything else. Because there's so many people and there's nowhere to put them and no jobs to give them because there's so many.
But with a lot of the evidence from the Ripper thing, it looked like it was driven by rage, too. Just the amount of blood, the way they were killed, and then post-mortem they were dissected.
Yeah, he slit their throats first and then took the stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theories. and before I heard this one, I thought the one from the From Hell movie was a pretty good one. The theory behind that movie as to why all those women were killed. I thought that was... explain why nobody has been caught or fingered for it.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems... Holmes does seem good for it, but there's also things where you point to and you're like, normally serial killers don't change their MO like that. They don't change. So maybe he wasn't a serial killer as much as he was
an opportunity killer.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, you also don't know,
because that's what he did with pool scams. That's what he did. So a scam would, that would fall under the scam, but also murder, but it would fall under scam too.
Yeah, because, you know, here I'm going to do this and nobody's going to know it's me and I'm going to send.
Well, and I'm doing it for the bonus. I'm doing it for the insurance. I'm doing it for this.
Right.
Maybe even out of, I'm doing it to study, you know, decay. I'm doing it for whatever. I mean, it seems like his was not so much passion driven as it was, you know, scam driven. I mean, he just seems like he'd be the person who'd scam that.
I think he is better labeled a con artist and scammer than serial killer. Because honestly, the only for sure murder or murders you can put to him is Peitzel and supposedly the three kids.
But that castle's pretty fucked up. I'd have to ask, like, what is up with this one, bud? Why did you build this?
Yeah.
Like, this seems very, very...
And, I mean, you can't even point the fingers at the mistresses because they could have just up and left.
So when they arrested him, though, I'm sure they looked at his castle by that time. Did they not ask the questions? And they, I'm sure they did.
Well, I mean, think about it. If you are, I mean, just digging bodies up for the skeletons, you're going to need the acid baths because you're going to need the acid.
The weird fucking rooms and the chutes. And
right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying the murder castle isn't fucked up. I'm sure he was killing people in that castle. I'm sure he was. I'm sure he was, because why else do it? Why have the body chutes? Why have the gas chambers?
I mean, it really serves no other purpose.
Right. Why have the doors with knobs on the outside but not the inside? And, you know, secret passages to get into all said rooms.
To stand in the hallway and jerk off while you're watching people die?
Right. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's good for it. But if you are stripping bodies, and if you're killing them strictly for the skeletons to then sell, because that's a scam in itself. I mean, you're just killing these people because the bones are profitable. The organs are profitable. You're going to need the acid vats for the skin to come off. And you'll need the crematorium to burn their shit and whatever's left over from, you know, the stripping of the bones. So my guess is he was a serial killer for profit. He didn't really, maybe he didn't do it to get off on it.
Like, definitely a sociopath. He didn't really care about.
Right. And I think he's seen these people as they were money signs. Because at the time, hospitals and medical schools were paying, at the time, fortunes for skeletons and body parts and cadavers. So he could kill these people. Gas chamber, think about it, because a gas chamber is not going to leave any kind of marks on the body at all, and you can then sell that cadaver to a medical school for them to dissect.
And nobody questions, hey, where did you get the dead person?
And I'm sure it wasn't just him taking the body. I'm sure Peitzel did it, and they probably traveled to other states or other towns with these bodies to sell to medical schools.
But you see how that's different from what the Ripper did, though?
Oh, yeah, he just killed him where they lay and left him where they lay.
That's why I have a hard time drawing that parallel.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying that. I'm not saying Holmes was the Ripper.
No, it means weird. He was there when it happened.
Right. He was there during and after he left. There was nobody else after Mary Kelly. I mean, she, I think, was the last Ripper case and the last one they tried to associate with the Ripper case. And if you think about it, even she was killed way different than the other four, because she was damn near unrecognizable because he butchered her so bad.
That's what I mean. Those were seem like rage driven.
Well, I mean, even for her, it was way worse than the other four, and that could have been because,
and they were all women. Seemed like a hatred for women.
Right.
And it was all their sex parts too. It was.
Oh yeah, he mutilated the sex parts.
Yeah. So, to me, that's different than what Holmes was doing. But I mean, as we talk about the Ripper, I'm sure we'll be able to pull Holmes into that and compare and contrast those. There are some similarities, which I think is interesting, and is very interesting.
I honestly think the only reason people are pointing the finger at Holmes is because he was known to be in London at the time of the Whitechapel murders.
And the medical background.
Because really, honestly, when you come to it, everybody's left with their dick in their hands because they have no idea who the Ripper was.
Oh, it was the perfect murders.
It was perfect.
But it was also the time. I think that would have happened today.
You would know because there would be forensic evidence.
Yeah.
And then they didn't know how to do it. But also, if you go off the From Hell theory and you've got five certain people that you need to kill, you're going to kill other people first before you do that five. And you're going to make them all look different so that...
It looks sporadic.
It looks sporadic.
Yeah.
So that you can get rid of these specific people, but you've also got other murders going on at the same time.
I tell you, man, that the whole Ripper case is... It throws you in so many different curveballs.
Yeah, and then I'll also mention that some of the letters, a lot of them they think were just people fucking with them, but they do think a couple of them actually were from the Ripper.
Oh, yeah. The most serial killers want to take credit for what they do.
Well, yeah, and then he's having so much fun with it.
He didn't want anybody else to get his credit.
Right. But then, why not tell you who you are?
Because maybe that's part of the game. That's part of the fun.
Or maybe he was sent to get rid of specific people, and once he did it, he was gotten rid of.
It could be, too. That's a very good theory.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think the only reason Holmes is associated with it is because you know he killed people and he was there when it happened. I think that's literally the only ties that you have in the medical background.
And I feel like if I was going to die and I committed all those murders, I'd just say, oh yeah, and I'm Jack the Ripper too.
Yeah, I'm good for the Ripper case.
Yep, I did those.
Yeah, it's just... But then, I mean, he confessed to 27 murders after the Peitzel trial, and he was already convicted to hang. And then before the hanging, he's like, oh, yeah, there's another 100-some.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, kill him 200-some times?
But at the time, he could have just been fucking with him.
Could have been. I mean, I think he definitely killed more than just the one person. I definitely think that. I think he did kill all those people. I'm just not sure, in today's terms, you would call him a serial killer.
No, because honestly, the only one you can for sure lay at his feet is Peitzel.
Well, it's not just that. It's just the reasoning why you did it.
Right.
And you didn't have a particular type that you were killing.
Mm-mm.
Or in a particular way.
And you don't even know for sure that he killed the three kids while he was traveling. Or, he could have just left them in orphanages.
I'm just saying, most serial killers, maybe not all, but most have a certain way they do it, or a certain victim type, or a certain signature that they assign to their murder, so that you can pretty much tie them all together.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're still experimenting. But it seems like someone like Jack the Ripper kind of had it down. Like, this is what
by
I
the
do.
Time he got to those five, he knew what he was doing.
This is what I did. And that's not to say that there wasn't more before that that they just didn't attribute.
Well, like we'll talk about then, there were 11 that Scotland Yard wanted to put onto the Ripper. And Scotland Yard might not have even been a thing yet then. But their police force had 11 they wanted to put on the Ripper. But only 5 for sure. Or if you can even say that. 5 were good for the Ripper. But there was 11 they wanted to attribute to him.
I don't know if you guys are excited, but I'm excited to go over the Ripper.
Oh, yeah, I am too. I like the old Rip.
So I think the next one will be... Jack the Ripper,
and it's probably going to be a lengthy one.
So tune in for that. Thanks for joining us for HH Holmes. Hope you sleep well.
Bye.